Yoke the chariot to a team, Lachish, O invincible she. The daughter of Zion has taken hold of the first fruits of sin by you, for in you were the sins of Israel. Micah chapter 1 verse 13. That is our daily scripture for today, little children, and we have it from my own translation from 2003. Adam Clark's notes for that verse mention that because in some translations, like I believe it's the King James here, possibly, yeah, that's being used by the particular website, and by Adam Clark, he's using that translation also, I believe. And he says, where it says in that translation that Lachish is the beginning of sin, he says that seems to intimate that Lachish was the first city in Judah which received the idolatrous worship of the northern kingdom of Israel. He just says worship of Israel, but I'm adding the northern kingdom of, just to make it clear that Judah is in the south and Israel is in the north. But you notice in the translation of yours truly there, I actually avoided that idea, and so does the American Standard Version. Oh, no, it says the beginning of sin in the American Standard, that's right. Whereas I've rendered it as the first fruits of sin by you, which can mean either the first fruits, meaning the beginning of sin coming from Israel, or it could also mean the very first sin, the beginning of sin. As represented by the first fruits, right? It's an interesting translation, isn't it? The way I rendered it there. It gives a lot more latitude and it doesn't lose any of the impact or the meaning of it. It doesn't seem as obscure as the other renderings. Now, listen to what we're going to do today. I have no idea what we're going to do today because it just depends on how detailed we get in our coverage of this article. But we're in the article from since yesterday, the article called Joseph and On. Actually, the pretitle is The Horns of Amun-Re and the Day of Judgment. But that was back in the days when I wrote lots of subtitles to every article. And Joseph and On is also called Redemption of the Phoenix, and it's called other things too, it seems to me. The Horns of Amun-Re and the Day of Judgment. Yeah, I'm thinking of the other article. But I just remembered Geb, I believe, is the father of Osiris in the Egyptian mythology, and that's why, since Geb is identified by us in this article as Jacob, Joseph is the son of Geb, and therefore that makes Joseph Osiris. So we identify Joseph as Osiris in this article. It's going to be exciting when we start to look at the mythology and how the correlations occur between the family members of Jacob and his sons and the mythologies. Because even this one about Poseidon, the illustration of Poseidon riding a chariot, well, I mean, not only did that fit Joseph because he had the trident, which sort of symbolizes a pitchfork, which would be to do with harvesting and the fact that Joseph had to harvest all the grain before the famine came. Not only does it correlate incredibly well in that regard, and the fact that there was a drought and Poseidon is lord of the water and the earth, so that correlates, but then we know that Joseph rode in the second chariot of Pharaoh. He rode a chariot when he went traveling around Egypt. So Joseph was always on board this chariot. So that also fits with, and of course, Poseidon is also the god of horses, I think. There's more to Poseidon than what we're showing here. But this idea of the chariot, this fits absolutely perfectly with Joseph. And that's just one example. We have many, many examples of the mythology correlating with the Bible. And we're going to talk about it, hopefully, when we get there. But listen to the article for today. What are we doing here? We got to the point yesterday of, we talked about Heliopolis, the city, that's where we left off, being the Greek name for the Egyptian city of On. It's called Heliopolis, Helio, referring to the sun god Helios, right? Who rode a chariot across the sky, didn't he? Isn't he the god who rode the chariot across the sky? So even that correlates with the chariot. I mean, there's so many parallels between Joseph riding his chariot and all of the other things in the mythology and to the other Israelites too. But I mean, it's, we're going to see that. It's just astounding. I think we're going to be surprised. When I see it again, I think I'll be amazed even more because I didn't really have anyone to talk to when I was studying it before, so I don't think my brain could be nearly as active in correlating all these things. But anyway, we'll see. And I'll get my feedback one way or another, right? I get feedback. It doesn't have to be direct feedback. I get indirect feedback all the time by whatever I'm watching online. But the year 1493 BCE, this is the year of the Exodus in our chronology. Okay? So that's why we're saying on the 15th day of the month, did the Israelites leave Egypt from the city of Ramesses according to the genealogy? But later on in the article Trojan War, we mention a newer understanding in Trojan War, paragraph 2, 6, or chapter 2, paragraph 6, that is, in footnote 1, which is the only footnote for that paragraph. It's, we mention, I added this footnote quite recently, that a newer understanding of the day of the Israelite departure is that they departed on Nisan 14, okay? But why do I say that? I'm trying to remember now. It doesn't mean they had to depart on the 14th. What it means is that the events, I'm trying to think why. It just means that the death of the Pharaoh's son had to occur on a certain day, like it was May 1st. And because it ended up being May 3rd, we were missing it, you know. But when we got it back to May 2nd, then there was an overlap between the Egyptian day and the Hebrew day, because the Hebrew day begins in the evening. And it could fit perfectly if they departed on the 14th, but I think I'm going to have to maybe amend that. It's not that they departed on the 14th, but remember that the Passover festival was, the first day was a holy convention. They weren't allowed to do anything on the first day of the Passover, and that was the 14th. So maybe that's why they left on the 15th, and maybe the fact the Bible says they left on the 15th. If we look at Exodus 12, that's where it mentions you know, the Passover, how it was to be instituted. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month in the evening, they were to eat unfermented cakes down till the 21st day of the month in the evening, 7 days and so on, was going to be that festival. But we know that the first day was a holy convention, right? On the first day, there's a holy convention, Exodus 12:16. No work to be done on them. So maybe they didn't leave on the 14th, they left on the 15th, but there was sort of a day when they couldn't do anything before they left. They had to do no work on that day. That might be why, if I can scoot on to the next chapter, Exodus 13. This is the Bible, of course. It's going to say here, at some point, and it says in the book of Numbers, I believe, too, that they left on the 15th day. We can just search for the word 15th, and we're going to find it. Right. I don't think it even says in this chapter. Hang on. Well, I can't find it unless I do a search. Okay. 15th. We'll look for that in the book of Exodus, 15th, the word 15th. Let's see. Maybe it's not in that book. It's in the book of Numbers, 33 and 3 of Numbers. It's in that book. It says exactly what day they left, right? It says, they proceeded to pull away from Ramesses in the first month on the 15th day of the first month. Okay. So there we see that maybe they rested on the 14th because it was... So these are things that happened thousands of years ago, right? So... And... So we're trying to learn more and more. We keep learning more and more. But the other thing we can look at, which is very informative, is we can look at the lunar alignments that happen for where the moon is and what the first day of the month might be and all that sort of thing. And that's what we're going to do hopefully today. But the Trojan War article there has some kind of slight modification of what we're talking about here. So in that year, 1493, see, this is crucial. If the lunar phase doesn't line up, if it's not possible for them to be what are we looking for here? Oh yeah, the right day of the week. If it's not, because there's a certain point in the book of Exodus, chapter 16, where it mentions the first Sabbath that was, it was the very first Sabbath of all time. It was instituted as recorded there in the book of Exodus, chapter 16. The first time the Israelites ever celebrated the Sabbath. And we know that day is a Saturday. So if it's not a Saturday, and we can calculate back from today, using the Gregorian calendar, we can account for the fact that in the Gregorian calendar, there were 10 days subtracted or just skipped in order to bring that calendar in alignment. The Gregorian calendar to align the day with the fact that the equinox had gotten out of alignment over all the centuries, that the Julian calendar had been in operation. They wanted to realign things, and so they skipped 10 days. So we're allowing for that as well in our calculations. And we're calculating all the way back and keeping track of what day is Saturday, okay? I think that we talk about it in the appendix, either of this article or the Joseph article. We talk about what day of the week it is. I don't know if it's in the Joseph article. I think it's in the Joseph. Where's the Joseph article? Do we have it here? Here it is. Let's see. At the end of the Joseph article, I think it might be. But maybe not. Ongoing research? Oh, maybe not. Okay, so maybe it is. Yeah, maybe it is the end of this article then. Where are we? Here? Let's look at the other. Let's not lose our place. Let's go to the other copy we have here. Go to the end of this. Yeah, here it is. So this is where we calculated it. At the end of this article, the day of the week calculations are given, so we show exactly how we calculate that. All those centuries, we don't want to lose track of which day is Saturday, so we go through that at great length and make sure we did it right. You don't have to make sure, but it's because it's not that easy. But, I mean, you can do it yourself and prove that it's right. That was Trojan War again. Okay, so now... So they left on the 15th day, right, according to the book of Numbers, chapter 33, verse 3. And so we've been talking about what day did the Pharaoh's firstborn die. And that's where we got back to, it looks like May 1st, which is exactly in harmony with one of the known dates that were given for the Egyptian pharaohs, right? That said when a certain pharaoh became king or something specific in their records that we could line up with our Hebrew dates. That's the thing. That's why it was so important in Trojan War to get that day right. So maybe that there was a day of rest in there, in the middle, right? But, you know, you're going to see with all of these details, like the Hebrew day begins in the evening and then the next day is also the same Hebrew day as the previous evening. So there's always going to, and there are, when there's a new moon, sometimes it happens right at 1 or 2 in the morning that the conjunction of the moon occurs. And we can go to Gauchi and we can look at her calculations from 1493 BCE, which show, as indicated by this minus 1492, which is the same year as 1493 in our calculator, it shows that she has the first visibility on March 20th for the moon in that month, and then April 19th, and then May 18th. So we see that from March 20th to April 19th, since March has 31 days, that's a 30-day month. You can see that, whereas it would be a 31-day month if it were the 20th and the 20th, but it's a 30-day month. And then we go from April to May from 19 to 18, and April only has 30 days, so going from 19 to 18 in the day number means that's a 29-day month from April to May. And in this article, we discuss shifting our interpretation from March to April as being the beginning of the year. And we're right, partly because we're right on the border, and the other reason being, since we're on the border, it's more important which day is Saturday, that it lines up, right, with the lunar calendar, according to what the Bible says, because the Bible gives a lunar date when the first Saturday was celebrated as a specific Sabbath, right, that was given for the first time ever as a celebration in the book of Exodus chapter 16. I don't think we'll go into all those details because it gets, you know, it's complicated, but, and since there is some leeway, there's always a little bit of leeway because let's look at our calculator, okay? The LEAP calculator, which I was looking at. Did I? Forgot to shift that or something. Okay. Yeah, so here we have 1493 BCE. Now, when we represent a date, we don't have to subtract 1 from the number for the BCE numbers like they do in the scientific papers. We just used it. We called it what it was, 1493 BCE, okay? So minus 1493. They do that because they want each year number to be a multiple of 4 to indicate the leap years. So they call it 1492 with a negative sign, but that's 1493 for us. And April 19th, we've got the time zone for Egypt plus 3, which is 3 hours east of Greenwich. We've got a local time for this new moon of April 18th, and look, it's only less than 2 hours after midnight local time. Now, in Gauchi's calculator, she'll show that as April, I believe. Well, I must have just show you, because I've already looked at it and confirmed it. But you see, April, the new moon is shown here, or rather the conjunction, right? Rather than the first visibility on the 19th that she documents, right? Which is one day after the 18th, because, well, actually, April 17th here is late at night, and that's Greenwich time. So you add 3 hours, it becomes April 18th early in the morning, just like we have. In fact, it's going to be, add 3 hours, it's going to be 12:38 plus 1 is 1:38 hours in the morning instead of 22:38. And what do we have instead of 22:38? Well, we've got to go back and look at it, and then we should put the tabs beside each other if we want to compare them all the time, but we're not doing that all the time, so it's okay. Look at 1:40 instead of 1:38. We're 2 minutes different from Gauchi in her calculation. And that's the 18th. And then the first visibility was the next day, but in the evening, which meant that essentially the first actual day was 2 days after this conjunction. So you see how complicated it is? It's complicated, and there's certain leeway here and there, because you get new moons that occur near midnight. You get all kinds of, and sometimes the calculations are going to be wrong when they're borderline. So even though we might have the calculation done by an eminent scientist, it doesn't make any difference, because in a borderline case, it could go either way. So it's really not that critical. Okay. So let's go back to find our article. Is this it? Yeah. Good. So, okay, we said according to the genealogy, and see Numbers 33 and 3 and Exodus 12, 40 and 41. Right, because we said on the very day, remember? Yeah, we actually were able to confirm that when it said that on the very day, on the same day they left, right? In Exodus 12, 40 and 41, it said on this very day, even on this very day, 430 years later, they came out of Egypt. We tried to show that it was the same day of the week that they came out of Egypt. That's right, and so I did that in a video recently. I studied that recently also in a video. We went into that in great detail to show that even with the modern, not modern, I mean recent, it's all modern for us. All my calculations are rather modern, but no, the more recent calculation in the footnote of Trojan War that I added there, that made it, instead of the day immediately following the Passover, instead of it being Friday, it was a Thursday. That made it the same day of the week, being Nisan 15. If we think that the date when Joseph was first appointed as second in command of Egypt, if we think that was Nisan 15 back in 1923, that makes those two Thursdays, I think, align. I think that's what I proved in the, I showed that in the video. So there's a Thursday. It could be a Thursday instead of a Friday that we're trying to align with Nisan 15 or 14, whatever it is we're doing. And there's so much of a little bit of leeway. There's enough leeway that unless you knew someone who lived right then at that time who could tell you exactly what day it was when Joseph was appointed ruler of Egypt, or maybe we'll find it written down somewhere, that would be exciting, wouldn't it? But unless we know these things, we can show it's pretty close to being correct that they left on the very same day on which they arrived, in the sense that Joseph was appointed and became a citizen on the same day because he'd been in the prison and didn't have official status as citizen. Anyway, I'm rambling, but it's very important to understand there's a lot of work behind the scenes of this article here. Okay, it's not just saying something that someone else wrote. This is research that was done, and calculations that were made by myself personally. So the year 1493, okay, is what we're talking about. Now Exodus 16, 1-5 and 22, 23 and 29 show that the Sabbath observance was instituted in the year of the Exodus, as we just said, and that the seventh day counted from Iyar 15 in that year, meaning they started counting on Iyar 15, Iyar being the second month of the Jewish lunar calendar. It is, according to the Jewish Encyclopedia, the second month in the Jewish calendar, consisting always of 29 days. But that is a statement which we don't know if it's true back in the time of Moses, when they had the time of the Exodus. Now, and falling, that is the month of Iyar, between the 10th of April and the 8th of June, that's a modern statement, I think, by the Jewish Encyclopedia of what the month of Iyar is. I don't think that's necessarily going to be that ancient in terms of its definition. Now, vernal equinox fell on April 3rd. Let's look at that. in the Julian calendar in the year 1493. This is where we're getting into the tricky stuff, and this is why I'm trying to explain it before we even get there, so you're not going to be too overwhelmed, or not as much overwhelmed. Now, where are we? Where is it? Here? Yeah. So, to find out, when you're in the calculator on Will of Jehovah, the LIAP calculator, if you click on the moon phase, you get the equinox, and the solstices, both equinox and solstices, and April 3rd is the vernal equinox. My calculator agrees. It's that same date. In the modern time, my calculator may not agree, but for the ancient dates, it agrees. So we don't care so much about the modern equinoxes for the sake of our historical calculations, right? I mean, we don't really care. It was very difficult to get to put the equations. When I wrote the program, I wrote every line of code in JavaScript, and I wrote it all myself, but I used the equations that have been calculated by scientists. And the equinox calculator that I got is not the one that works the best for the modern time, but I guess it works well for the ancient time, because here we found it agreed. So April 3rd, 1493 is the equinox, and that agrees with some other sources I was using. Back in 1493, that's the equinox, April 3rd. And that's in the Julian calendar, just because that's the calendar they always used for, the historians have always used, not the ancient peoples. They didn't know about the Julian calendar until Julius Caesar came along. But it's April 3rd in the Julian calendar, you know, calculated retrospectively. That is the vernal equinox in the year 1493. And that was using the derivation of the equation of time, which was a website. Trying to think of the gentleman's name, the person's name, I can't remember. If I knew whether it was a gentleman or a lady or not. But and NASA's time conversion tool I also used to help me. Back then I had to do two steps before I could get the equinox. I had to use the derivation of the equation of time, and then I had to use NASA's time conversion tool, both of them, before I could arrive at the date for the vernal equinox. And nowadays we just use the calculator on Will of Jehovah if we want. That's what I use, because I know it's accurate, and it's my own calculation that I know I can rely on, and it gives me, no matter what date we're looking at, any date in history, we can go and click on the moon phase, and it will give us the equinox and solstices for that particular time period or date, specific date. It'll give us the equinox in that year, okay? And it gives us the summer solstice, it gives us the autumnal equinox, and the winter solstice as well. Okay? So, I mean, there's a lot of technical stuff involved behind the scenes here when we're doing all this. It's not quite as obvious as it looks. This is a consequence of the fact that the Julian year, the fact that it's April 3rd and not June 22nd like it normally is for vernal equinox, right? It's a consequence of the fact that the Julian year is too long, and the equinox appears thus to be shifted forward, because the Julian year is long, so as you're calculating back, you're not going to get back as far in the calendar. You don't get all the way back to June anymore. You only get to April 3rd as you go backwards, because the calendar is longer. The year is longer in the Julian calendar than the Gregorian calendar. There's a quarter of a day extra every year, which is longer than the Gregorian, which has 0.2425 instead of 0.25. You know, it's shorter. So that extra fraction in the Gregorian makes the difference. So if we were looking at the Gregorian, it would still be somewhere around June 22nd or something. But in the Julian calendar, it's April 3rd. It's just a technical difference between the two calendars. It's nothing. It still occurs at the same time of year. It's just that the calendar says it's April 3rd. So don't worry about that. Now, the equinox is appears to be shifted forward relative to the usual date of March 20th or so. That's because we're counting back into prehistory using that calendar, the Julian calendar, right? But if we use the Gregorian, we overshoot by 14 days, right? Because it's a shorter calendar. That's what happens. So the true spring equinox for that year falls on April 3rd, since everybody typically uses the Julian calendar for these ancient time periods. Prior to Julius Caesar, you know, there was no other calendar that had any kind of leap year until Julius Caesar. So the Julian calendar is the one we use until we get to the more accurate Gregorian calendar, which got instituted sometime in the 1580s or so, right, of the Common Era, 1500 and some years after the turn of the Common Era. What does this do to the lunar calendar in that year? There's the Greek god Helios, right? And he's depicted at the Colossus of Rhodes in an 1880 engraving. What an illustration, right? What an engraving of this statue, the Colossus of Rhodes, depicted very scantily clad. This Greek god is with a crown on his head with radiating points on his crown, indicating the sun, evidently the rays of the sun. NASA's Fred Espenak gives the moon phase tables from 1493, and his calculations indicate a new moon on March 19th of that year. We're going to have to terminate our study. We're done, but let me just show you that one more if we have time. We had, now I've gone just about there. Okay, so let's go back 1 month here. March 19th, there it is. There's that conjunction, right? March 19th. So our calculator also agreed with that. Now let's go back and terminate for today. He said 06:26 Greenwich. We'd have to add 3 hours to that. We got something like 9. So we're very close to what he calculated, if I'm remembering just now what I saw. So there we go. We're doing all the calculations step by step here in the article. That's today's study, January 25th. In the year, this year, 2025, of the Common Era. And the time is 20:31 hours Canadian Eastern Time. I love you very much. Thank you so much for listening and watching. And I'm Ward Green. And in my behalf, this is Sissy. And this is Star saying bye for now. We've gotten up to the end of what does this do to the lunar calendar and the Greek god Helios, the illustration. Got up to that point. And that's it for today. So see you again, hopefully soon.